the gate.
I got into the labor movement not because I wanted to negotiate wages. I got into labor movement because I saw it as a vehicle to do massive social change to improve the lots of people.
Let's take these son of a b****s out and give America back to America where we belong. Thank you very much. Thank you.
As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy. Greatly appreciate you being part of the show today. Joining us right now, Catherine Henry. Are you there, Catherine? I want to make sure you're connected.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Wanted to have you on the show this morning and find out a little bit more about what's going on in your life and all the things you're involved in.
Yeah, so wanted to give everybody a quick update because we have, of course, a lot of stressful, bad, negative things in our lives these days. We have these executive orders that tell us everything what to do with our lives. So wanted to have a little bit of a pick-me-up. Several people know that I've been trying to file various briefs in different cases. I'm an attorney and I do have my own clients normally, but right now, for the most part, I've been focusing on essentially supporting the voice of the state, the people of the state of Michigan in other lawsuits that have already been filed. So I filed briefs in the legislature's lawsuit against the governor and some other things. More recently, there was a case that some doctor's offices and a patient who was denied surgery because of the COVID-19 Whitmer executive orders. those individuals came together as plaintiffs and sued the governor, the attorney general, and the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services director in a federal lawsuit. And what the federal court judge in that case said was that the issues could actually all be resolved if it was able to be proven that these executive orders violated even just our state constitution or our state law, not just our federal constitution. So the federal court judge basically paused the federal court case and asked the Supreme Court of the state of Michigan to answer two specific questions. So it's called certifying a question. So the two questions they certified dealt with, number one, if the executive orders issued by Governor Whitmer violated state law after April 30th, and number two was whether these executive orders violated our state constitution by the separation of powers or non-delegation doctrines. So those are the two questions that the Supreme Court of Michigan will be hearing on September 2nd. And the parties to that case, so the attorney for the doctor's offices and this individual patient, those plaintiffs will have their oral argument time, and they've filed briefs with the Michigan Supreme Court because, of course, the original briefs and documents they filed were up in federal court. And so the attorney for the governor and the Department of Health and Human Services also, you know, filed briefs with the Michigan Supreme Court, and they are granted oral argument time. And then the attorney general is separately defending the action. So they will also have oral argument time.
Now, I want to stop you right there.
Yep.
That's the same date that the case brought by Speaker Chatfield and Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky. That's the same date they've been scheduled to start oral arguments in that case. So yep. are these together now, or are they separate, or what's going on for that particular September 2nd date?
No, there's nothing been filed in the Supreme Court, or nothing is scheduled in the Supreme Court for the legislature's case with the governor. That's not happening yet. The appeals...
Whoa. I thought they said that oral arguments were supposed to start on September 2nd. They've been reporting it on the news.
They haven't even issued a decision yet in the Court of Appeals, so they can't file an appeal, let alone have that scheduled yet.
Oh, okay. Well, is it September 2nd then that they're hearing the arguments in the Court of Appeals?
Nope. They heard the in the legislature's lawsuit against the governor, it was 2 weeks ago on Tuesday that they heard oral argument from all the attorneys, excuse me, in that case in front of the Court of Appeals. And I believe it's by this Friday that the Court of Appeals has to issue their decision. And once they do that, then whoever loses, presumably, is going to file an appeal with the Michigan Supreme Court.
Right.
And from that point on, then there's a period of time that the other side will then have to be able to file their brief. After that is done, or essentially once that process begins, that's when the Supreme Court will decide whether they're even going to take the case, and if they do, when oral arguments would be scheduled.
Got it. Okay, can you stay over for another segment? Because I want to talk to you about your RestoreFreedomMI.com petition drive.
Sure. And I got to tell you the good news about the case I was updating you on, too.
Great. Good deal. Perfect. We're going to continue with Catherine Henry, constitutional attorney working on a lot of things for us here in the state of Michigan. We're going to take a short break. A word from my sponsors. We'll be right back.
This is Mrs. Thompson, elementary school teacher at Northern Michigan Christian Academy. After I graduated from Michigan State University, I became a public school teacher where I met some amazing adults and young children. However, I felt limited in my ability to teach morality, respect, patriotism, and academics from a Christian worldview. I do believe that an education lacks validity without first acknowledging God as creator. That's why I thoroughly love my job as an educator at Northern Michigan Christian Academy. NMCA is a K-12 school located just off M68 between Lansing and Indian River. Our qualified teaching staff is dedicated to creating a safe learning environment for our students, approaching all academics, whether reading for our kindergarten students or advanced math for our high school students, from a biblical worldview. For more information regarding our school, please visit nmcaonline.org. Again, that's nmcaonline.org.
Hello, this is Dr. Kyle Denham from Breath of Life Chiropractic in Petoskey. We are fully operational for all services. This includes chiropractic, massage therapy, functional fitness classes, nutrition coaching, educational workshops, supplements, lab work, and more. If you've been sitting at home and thinking about how to get healthy, but you're not sure how to do this, we are the place for you. We help people get and stay healthy so they can live the life they want to live and not be afraid of a virus or chronic diseases like diabetes, dementia, and heart disease. We also help people with conditions like migraines and headaches, digestive problems, sleep issues, fatigue, shoulder, neck, and back pain, including sciatica, and weight loss through our 8 weeks to wellness program. Now is the time to get healthy. Don't wait. Call today to schedule your wellness score assessment. Our number is 231-622-8828 or at breathoflifechiropractic.net. Again, 231-622-8828 or breathoflifechiropractic.net. Give us 8 weeks and we'll change the rest of your life. Hope to see you soon. And God bless America.
How do you like your burger? Do you like Swiss or cheddar, ketchup or mustard, double the bacon? No matter how you like to top your burger, everyone agrees that a really good burger should start with a really great bun. That's why the bakers of Village Hearth put so much care into making their natural buns. Baked with good stuff like toasted whole grains and natural honey, you're sure to find a variety that's just right for you. So no matter how you like your burger, Village Hearth has the perfect bun to build it on. Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Are you one of the many people that have always wanted to give to your favorite charity or non-for-profit such as your church, school, or local community, but believe that it's way out of your budget, a goal that you've always wanted to fulfill? Let me show you some strategies that would benefit you and your favorite charity. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Welcome back into the show, second segment, hour number two of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy. Joining us, staying over for another segment, Catherine Henry, constitutional attorney who's been involved in a lot of these K-12 cases, filing a lot of briefs, doing a lot of research while trying to run a practice, too. So greatly appreciate all your efforts, Catherine. But, yeah, let's back the bus up slowly and get through the briefs that you filed in these other cases. When the court gets an answer from the Michigan State Supreme Court on those two questions, what do you think the outcome is going to be and where will we go from there?
Yes, I did double check just during the break just to make sure I was correct. September 2nd is the only thing scheduled with the Michigan Supreme Court at this point is the court case that we were talking about, not the legislature's lawsuit. So it will actually be done by Zoom, and they will be posting it live on their YouTube channel with the Michigan Supreme Court, so everybody will be able to see it.
And they've already agreed to allow you to present to the court on that date?
Yeah, so that was the good news part that I didn't quite get to before the break, that they have right on the Supreme Court's website, that if you go to the main page for the Supreme Court, if you scroll down below the court calendar, you'll see a section called What's New. You'll actually be able, the public can actually read the district court order that came from the federal district court, the briefs that were submitted by the governor, the attorney general, and the plaintiffs, the order so far that was issued for the Supreme Court, and the amicus curiae briefs that were submitted by the four parties so far. And you'll be able to see right on there, the one called Restore Freedom is the one that I submitted. And if you click on that order of the Supreme Court, that's, you know, right available on their website, it shares that the I'm sorry, the order that they have there is not the order that I was thinking of, but the order that was issued last Wednesday did in fact accept the three briefs that were submitted so far for amicus curiae briefs up until that point. The Michigan epidemiologist brief was not submitted and accepted until later, but the oral argument time was granted to, of course, the plaintiff's attorneys, the defendant's attorneys, and then I was actually granted 5 minutes of oral argument time as an amicus curiae to be able to argue some of these issues on behalf of the concerns that the people of the state of Michigan have on these issues. So
are you going to rehearse your 300 seconds so that you're fully prepared to, you know, nail your talking points, try to get 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound box? Because 300 seconds is not very long.
Yeah. So, of course, I definitely will be doing some practicing and some working on that. I'll definitely be looking to some divine intervention from God, because obviously when I try to speak on an issue, there's so many pieces involved that it takes quite a while to get it all addressed. But I guess it would be akin to the 10 minutes of public comment time that I was granted at the Lowell City Council meeting on June 15th in representing Steve Bukola, the Lowell police chief that was forced to resign because he said the police supported the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
So, I had to stick with the 10 minutes there to be able to go over a variety of issues. So I should be able to pull it off to use my 5 minutes to go over the issues that I think are essentially the issues that I think are being left out by the other parties. Some of the issues are being already argued, but there are pieces that are left out. So,
well, see, and that's the thing. I always look at these lawsuits and I read synopsis, paragraphs, summations, different briefs that are put out there. And it's amazing to me how a certain attorneys can look at a case, can look at a situation, and file their complaint. And they name, you know, let's using the alphabet, for example, they'll name the most obvious ones, you know, A, B, C, D. Then they might skip E and F, you know, and go to G and H, and then skip all the way to, you know, N, M, O, P, and it's like, okay, you left so much out in the middle. You left so much out at the end. Another attorney looks at the case and says, yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. But then you come in and you fill in those gaps. Is that basically a commonsensical type of layman's explanation of what you basically did in filing your briefs to fill in the gaps?
Essentially, yes. And it's not sometimes it's a lack of being able to quite see all the potential arguments that are out there. But a lot of times, like, for example, with the legislature's lawsuit against the governor, Michael Williams has been the main attorney doing the, filing briefs and presenting the oral argument for the legislature. And it's not that he's done a bad job. It's that he's confined to be able to present arguments that specifically relate to the legislature's perspective on the case. He can't just argue the general, position of the state of the people of the state of Michigan. And so The same would hold true in this federal lawsuit with the doctor's offices and that one patient. That attorney is tasked with representing those particular clients' interests. And so to the extent that an argument might apply to the people of the state of Michigan in general, but not specifically to those plaintiffs, that attorney can't really bring that argument forth in that particular role. So that's why I'm stepping forward and filing these amicus briefs, so that that particular part of the voice of the people of the state of Michigan can be heard.
Got it. So you're basically acting like we, the people's attorney, in the case, so that you can present your oral arguments, looking at it from a more broad constitutional perspective. Would that be a good way to describe it?
Absolutely. And that's basically how I worded it in the briefs. And when I was asking for the oral argument time, is that, yeah, I've been spending, 4.5 months now I've devoted of my life every single day to answering the questions of thousands of people all across the state of Michigan on these executive orders, on the cases, on, various briefs, on all the petitions that are being circulated. So I'm in a unique position that I've been in the trenches, so to speak, seeing exactly the kinds of concerns and ways that people are being impacted by these all these government issues going on. So that's how I presented it to the Supreme Court. Yes.
And obviously they bought your arguments and accepted your brief and said, okay, we'll give you 300 seconds to get up and talk about it.
Yes. Yes. And I am very excited about it. And I don't recall if I said to you, but I did just find out this morning that it is, in fact, going to be by Zoom. So it is something that, of course, it's not as, I don't know, I always feel like you're much more impactful when you're arguing the cases in front of the actual justices, face to face. But for whatever reason, it's scheduled for Zoom. Maybe they'll change their mind between now and then. But at least there will always be that YouTube channel so that the public has the opportunity to see and hear the oral arguments as well.
Sounds good. So it will be memorialized in a video once they publish it, once they upload it. Then folks can catch it even later after work when they get home on the second. Let's talk about the petition drive that you've been involved in. RestoreFreedomMI.com is the website. You started the petition drive, and you've got a window period that you have to collect so many signatures by. How is it going, and what's the current status?
Yeah, so, and actually to blend the two conversations that we've had, I do want to let you know that RestoreFreedomMI.com still works, but the main website is going to be RestoreFreedomKH, K as in Catherine, H as in Henry.com, because I'm officially abandoning my practice as I knew it and converting it into purely working on these constitutional issues, because we are nowhere near done. Even in gathering signatures and filing briefs, we have so much work to do to reclaim our government back from the politicians and all the other things. So anyway, RestoreFreedomKH.com is part of that transition. Where we're at with the Restore Freedom Initiative petition is, we're definitely going strong. We've gained several new regional captains to help us coordinate the efforts all over the state. We have signatures from at least 82 of the 83 counties. I believe we're in the process of getting the signatures from that 83rd county. And we have volunteers all over the state, thousands of volunteers all over the state. We've been doing a bunch of different types of events to get people engaged and aware and signing. I don't have a particular number of where we're at signature-wise, but we definitely are well on our way. We do have petitions coming in on a regular basis, and we have volunteers that are validating those signatures, because we want to make sure that we don't fall short of some of the other recent petition drives that we've seen where they, you know, they fall just shy of being able to have enough signatures to get something on the ballot or presented to the legislature. So we don't want to put ourselves in that position where some of our signatures are, where a lot of our signatures are being thrown out. We know some will, that's just the nature of the beast, but we are trying to catch all those before we turn them in, so our error rate is so small that all of our remaining ones are in fact accepted and can get us onto that 2022 ballot. And something that's super important for listeners to be able to realize as well, there's been some rumors floating around that, you know, the petition signatures that we had gathered between May 30th and July 6th, that somehow all of those signatures for the Restore Freedom Initiative were thrown out and that we had to start over. And that's not true at all. In fact, we had some people trying to come and sign again because they thought their signature had been thrown out. Definitely not. If you have signed the Restore Freedom Initiative petition, you can only sign once. And so every single signature from May 30th forward counts, because by law, we get the 180 days just as any other initiative would get. So May 30th, all the way through Thanksgiving Day would be the day that I have to turn those signatures in. So our cutoff will be 2 weeks prior to that to make sure we have enough time to organize them, verify them, scan them, you know, keep records and get them to the Secretary of State in plenty of time.
Got it. So you're going to be going through Thanksgiving. So those signatures, folks, that you signed on that petition, Restore Freedom, those are still good, and you do not have to re-sign those. Quick follow-up, I got a text message. Then, based on the process of which the legislators' lawsuit is going through, and like you said, they are not, I was totally misled by a couple of news stories, they're not going to hear the oral arguments for that case. What do you think the process is going to be if the legislators fail at the Court of Appeals? How long do you think the Michigan State Supreme Court will drag their feet before they agree to hear the case, if in fact they even do?
Yeah, so my understanding is that, and I just don't have the order in front of me, and with so many other things, that was one point I didn't double check before we went on air, but my understanding is that August 21st, which I believe is this Friday, the Supreme Court is requiring the Court of Appeals to have their decision issued by that time in the legislature's lawsuit against the governor. And if it is, in fact, the case that the legislature does not prevail at the Court of Appeals level, which I unfortunately, in listening to oral arguments, I believe that's where two of the three judges are headed towards, is to rule in favor of the governor. But if that does happen, Michael Williams, who, like I said, has been basically the lead attorney for the legislature, he has done a phenomenal job of getting stuff filed very timely for the legislature. And so I'm guessing that if Friday is when we get a decision, my guess is maybe about 2:30 p.m. on Friday is when we'll hear from the court on that case. Assuming that to be true, I wouldn't be surprised if Monday or Tuesday morning, by the latest, Michael Williams has filed an appeal to the Michigan Supreme Court. And the governor's attorneys have also been fairly quick about filing things. So my best guess is that by Wednesday, late Wednesday next week, into maybe Thursday morning, that we might have had a brief already on file from the governor's attorneys as well. And so from that point, again, the Supreme Court doesn't have to take the case, but based on the orders that they issued on June 5th and June 6th regarding various aspects of these topics, I do believe that they will in fact take the case. And I believe that at that point, they will consider this more timely than they might otherwise do. So I don't have a timeline, but I do think it will be closed fairly quickly.
Very quickly. Great. Appreciate the update. Continue to fight the good fight. We appreciate and thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. I'm Trucker Randy. We're going to take a hard news break. We'll be right back.
Great Lakes News is brought to you this hour by My Pure Health Solutions. If you